We turn now to the reading of God's Word found in Psalm 119. We won't be reading the entire psalm. We'll be reading, in fact, only one verse, verse 37. I was speaking with someone very dear to me this afternoon and telling them that I would only be preaching from one verse, and they told me, well, preaching from one verse is like wringing out an already dry dishcloth. Notwithstanding, I do believe this passage we'll be reading from, verse 37, is an incredibly important one and one with a lot to teach us. Hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would open up this passage to our hearts and to our minds, that we would look to you instead of to the distractions of this world. We pray that you would help us today to see that Christ is worth far more than anything that this world can offer. In Jesus' name, amen. Congregation of the Lord, certainly one of the greatest and most famous books ever written would be the book Pilgrim's Progress. Some of you perhaps have read it before. If you haven't, I heartily encourage you sometime this week to buy a copy and to read it. Read it to your children if they haven't heard it either. It's an incredible book. But Pilgrim's Progress is set as a journey that the Christian takes from the city of destruction to the celestial city. Upon this road, this character, Christian, meets with many things and many people that try and distract him from the journey he's on. He falls into the slough of despond. Mr. Worldly Wiseman tries to lead him down a different path. And so do the men named Formality and Hypocrisy. In fact, it seems at every turn that someone is trying to distract him from this path, from the city of destruction to the celestial city. Congregation, Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress as a reflection of the Christian life. He paints the Christian life, for the most part, as a path or a journey that the Christian travels down in salvation and sanctification, with distractions and temptations strewn along the way. And the vast majority, if not all, Christians who read it quickly realize that there's quite a bit to be said about this book. They quickly realize that it's a very good reflection of their own lives in Christ. They see themselves in it perhaps as a mirror, except in one small thing. Through it all, the character Christian keeps his eyes focused as much as possible on this path. Even when he walked through Vanity Fair, he refused to look upon the things that were for sale there, instead praying the words of this passage, using the King James, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." But unlike the character Christian, if we're being completely honest with ourselves and with others, our own lives can sometimes seem like quite the opposite. As people who claim the name of Christians, as people who gather together in church, our goal and our desire should be to be completely dedicated to Christ, to look to God at every moment, to leave behind everything that is worthless. But time and time again, if we're being honest, we fall into looking towards worthless things. Instead of finding our delight and our joy in God, instead of worshiping God and loving Him and following after Him, our focus instead turns towards trinkets. So my question for you this evening, congregation, is how can we change that? This problem is exactly what the verse before us this evening addresses. So in order to better understand both on the one hand our weakness, our frailty, and on the other hand understand how to fix it, I'd like to look at this verse with you in two different ways tonight. First of all, I want to examine the problem that we have before us. And second of all, I want to look with you at the solution that the psalmist presents to us. The solution that's to be found in God alone. We begin with the problem by examining the problem that's revealed in this verse. The psalmist says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Congregation, here we have before us what is ultimately a short prayer. But what exactly does he mean when he says these things? It's a very simple passage. In fact, we might not need to spend much time on it. The translators did do a good job at translating it, but it is nonetheless good to break up the verse into its simplest parts. To begin with, when the psalmist speaks of eyes, he's really referring to much, much more than that. In the Israelites' mind, the eyes stood for all that which lays behind them. We might say the heart. Or more appropriately, the desires of a person. We use this phrase in English too. When somebody wants to buy something, we say that, well, that person has their eye set on it. Or if a boy likes a girl, sometimes we say, well, he's got his eye on her. And so the psalmist here is making a prayer. He's asking God to turn his desires away from worthless things. And the word translated here as worthless things could also be translated as that which is empty, that which is false, that which has no meaning. It's a word used frequently to speak of those who lie or who pretend there's something even though they know it's not true. The author of Psalm 119 uses this word to refer to everything which doesn't remain, everything which has no true substance. Job uses this word, worthless things, in Job chapter 35, where he says, "Surely God does not hear an empty cry." And again, it's the same word used in the Ten Commandments when God says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," as something empty. The psalmist is asking God to keep his heart from anything which doesn't matter. Congregation, the psalmist is not the only person to ever find himself in this difficulty. When he prays this way, he's saying something that is certainly true for every one of us here today. Recognize it or not, our eyes are often turned towards worthless things. Our desires lean towards things that don't matter. Proverbs 27 verse 20 says that hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The natural desire of mankind is to allow our hearts to grab onto and to latch onto all sorts of things which in the end are completely worthless. Things which are only distractions from Christ. Now, friends, you may think that I'm speaking specifically to unbelievers or to those who are weaker in the faith. In fact, maybe right now you're sitting back in your seat and you're thinking to yourself, well, this may be the problem of so-and-so over there or the guy down the street or the person in the other pew, but well, after all, I'm a Christian, I'm doing okay, I look to Christ. You may even be congratulating yourself that this is one of those sermons that you don't need to listen to. I hope that's not your thought. But if that is the case, I need you to look at the surroundings of this verse. While it's certainly true that the unbeliever's heart is naturally turned towards sin, that's not the main point that this psalmist is getting at. The psalmist is speaking of himself here. He's praying, asking God for help for himself. He's not saying that other people turn towards worthless things. He's not praying, Lord, help so-and-so. They've really got problems. No, he's praying to God for help for himself. Now, this is a man who spends 176 verses proclaiming and praising God's word, God's law, God's statutes and judgments and his ways. The vast majority of this psalm is spent in declaring how beautiful God and his word are. But here, as in a few other verses in this chapter, the psalmist recognizes his own weakness. He sees how easily he strays into sin. The same is true for us, congregation. Even if we truly find our joy and our trust in Jesus Christ, and I hope that's the case, even if we look to the Savior, that old man within us still finds his way to fight and to turn our eyes towards worthless things, towards vanity. And so, we begin to think that if only we have enough money, if only we have enough fame, if only we have enough honor or accomplishments, if only we were smart enough, academic enough, loved enough, desired enough, healthy enough, happy enough, then we will be fulfilled. These things are not always necessarily bad things, friends. It's not bad to want to have finances, to want to be financially secure. It's not bad to want to be healthy. But when we look to them instead of to our God, well, they're worthless. All these enoughs are not enough. We will never be smart enough, healthy enough, rich enough, happy enough. In the end, everything we turn to, if it's not to God, is vanity. It's worthless. It's hopeless. It's lies. It's things which can do nothing but slow you down and distract you in the Christian walk. The psalmist recognizes this, and so my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Although we may be on the path in sanctification, the problem is that our hearts fall into distraction. In this way, we can be like little children. The image here is someone who is distracted when they're on a walk. Now, have you ever watched a little child who's on a walk, friends? Someone of maybe 2 or 3 years old as they're walking with their parents. Nearly every time, kids don't exactly stay on the path. If you watch them, they'll very quickly meander and they'll stop and they'll pick up a stick or a leaf or a bug of some kind and they will be endlessly fascinated with this object. And they realize, perhaps after a few seconds of staring intently, that they've fallen somewhat behind. And so they run forwards and they try and catch up to their parents. But soon enough, they're wandering again and they find themselves staring at something else. Friends, we can be like a little child in that way at times, with but one big difference. A child is cute. when he gets distracted. But for us, we're not falling behind in running for our parents. We're falling behind in pursuing the goal of our Heavenly Father. When we're distracted by all these trinkets that the world has to offer us, we're not simply a couple steps behind our parents. We find ourselves distracted from the Most High God. That's nothing cute. It's nothing cute to find yourself behind in the Christian walk, distracted in the Christian walk. These trinkets, these toys that our hearts become captivated with, when we compare them with the destination we're walking towards, the celestial city, the presence of Christ, they're far more worthless than anything a child could pick up on a walk. Examine all the things that so easily catch our attention, friends, and weigh them in comparison with the worth and the beauty and the importance of the destination we're heading towards. Is money worth anything in the end? Money can't help us on the Christian path. In fact, riches can very easily distract us from Christ. Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Or what about fame? Is fame worth anything? Fame can't help us on the Christian walk. Fame can't sanctify us. In fact, far too often, fame leads us not to glorifying God, but to glorifying ourselves. It leads us to pride and sin. Or again, what about health? There are so many who think, well, if only I felt a little better, if only I were a little less tired, a little less sick, then I'd be helpful to the Lord. But friends, God does not need our health at all. God does not need our health to work in His vineyard. Even things like health can distract us from God's will. Remember that Paul prayed 3 times to be healed from the thorn in his side. But God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Or again, what about entertainment? Can entertainment help us on this godly walk? A little entertainment soon becomes something that takes up most of our life. I speak from experience here. This is something that far too often I'm distracted with. I think, well, I will rest a little now and spend a little time relaxing, and later I can do or spend time with God. Well, I'm not saying that entertainment is necessarily a bad thing, but it can far too easily distract us from the path God has set us on. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, turned his hand towards every form of distraction, every bauble, everything of interest that he could find. He looked after wisdom. He looked after pleasure and drunkenness. He looked after accomplishments and riches and folly and women and work and laziness too. But what was his ultimate conclusion? He says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." The word he used is a little different from the passage here before us tonight. It could be also translated as uselessness. But the general idea is one and the same. Solomon is trying to tell us that everything we follow, everything we fight for, everything we turn to, everything we look after, if it is not in Jesus Christ, everything we search to obtain, if it is not to be found in the destination that Christ has set us on, it's all useless. It's all pointless. It's all empty. Anything off the path, anything on the sides, anything in the dust of this road can only lead to imperfection and to dissatisfaction. Friends, as beautiful as the things of this world may be, they're not worth chasing after in comparison to the path that God has set us on. So I ask you, friend, do you despair? Have you been chasing after worthless things in your life? Are your eyes and your heart focused on that which is useless, purposeless, empty? Do you think that somehow having more fame or more family, more love or more smarts or more money or more of anything, do you think those things will give you satisfaction and fullness? Are you looking at anything created for your satisfaction or your joy? If so, you have been distracted from the far greater joy of the presence of Christ and have been led astray from the path. So I ask you then, what's the solution to this? Where can we find something that will fill us up? Where can we find that which is not vanity? The psalmist in his prayer answers it himself. The solution can only be found in God. God alone can turn us away from that which is worthless. Go back to the text with me. The psalmist says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Not only does the psalmist recognize that he's naturally drawn towards worthless things, more importantly, he recognizes the fact that God alone can place his eyes on the right track. God alone can turn his heart from fixating on that which is distracting. So he prays to God and he says, "Turn my eyes from worthless things." He doesn't want to focus on that which is worthless. He doesn't want to focus on that which is distracting. He wants to focus on that which really matters. The psalmist recognizes his tendency to love sin instead of God's commands. So he constantly appeals to God for help. Look with me at Psalm 119 just for a moment, friends, and you'll see that this psalmist looks to God to give him strength, recognizing his own weakness. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, he says, "With my whole heart I have sought you." But immediately after, notice his pleading. He says, "Oh, let me not wander from your commands." Again, in verse 25, he says, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." Or again in verse 133, "Direct my steps by your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me." Even though the psalmist declares time and time again that he loves God's law, God's word, God's judgments, God's commandments, God's precepts, still he cries out to God. Still, he recognizes that he can't turn his eyes away from vanity. He can't leave behind that which is worthless unless God does it. And so even after this massive psalm in which he declares his love for God, even this, the longest chapter in the Bible, even after declaring his love for God, his final words in the psalm show how weak he recognizes himself to be. He says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commands." Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, if we are like the psalmist in turning our eyes and our heart continually to worthless things, and we should be like him in the solution as well. Only God can turn our eyes from worthless things. Only God can fix our heart on him. So friends, are you distracted? Do you find your eyes elsewhere? Is your heart filled with a desire for riches or knowledge or fame or honor or anything else? Then look to God. Look to God and you'll find that He draws the eye far more beautifully than anything that we can find on this earth. Friends, what good are earthly riches when Christ is the owner of this whole world? And what good is knowledge to us when, as Paul says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? What good is help, friends, and health in comparison to the one who is the resurrection and the life, the one who is the good shepherd? What good are honors and power and glory in comparison to our Savior? Revelation 5 verse 12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and honors and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and blessing." Even if we were to have all the greatest jewels, all the riches in the world, even if we were to have all the fame, all the power, all the might, even if we were to have all the knowledge or anything else that this world has to offer, it would be nothing in comparison to our God. All these trinkets are just dust in comparison to our King. All these things, all these worthless things of the world, they fall away in comparison to Him. There's a very famous hymn that describes this clearly. It says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Friend, if you find yourself distracted with the trinkets and the toys of this world, if you find yourself turning away from the path, then let this prayer of the psalmist be your prayer as well. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. But continuing on, as God changes our desires to seek after Him, if we are truly, by faith, if our eyes have been turned to our Savior, God will change our desire to seek after Him. We will also be more diligent in the Christian walk. Look one last time at the passage. He says, "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me," or "quicken me," or "give me life in your way." If the things of this world distract us from the Christian walk, then being centered upon God will keep us from distractions. This should be obvious to us. If we're constantly looking at every which thing, if we're constantly turning our eyes from the path, well then of course, if we're pausing on our journey to smell the flowers, to climb the rocks, to examine the trees, well, then of course it will take us much longer to arrive at our destination. But if we, congregation, continue with our eyes fixed upon God, if we turn our eyes towards our Savior, well then we will be much, much quicker and more focused on our path. So friend, cry out to God to give you that strength. Think about what's at the end of the path, the presence of Christ, the celestial city. So may your prayer be, "Revive me in your way." Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you wish to walk like the character Christian from Pilgrim's Progress, if you wish to be focused on God, centered on His Word, looking toward the celestial city, the answer is not to be found in yourself. It's not to be found in the dust of this road. It's not to be found in anything but in God alone. Looking to Him alone. Waiting for Him alone. He will give you the strength. So when you face distraction, when you find your eyes are turned towards earthly riches, when you are tempted at work or at home to join the pursuits of the world, friends, cry out to God. Like this psalmist, he alone can lift your eyes towards him. He alone can keep you on the path. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Savior, turn away our eyes from looking at worthless things and revive us in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.